I don't normally bring my iPhone to the pulpit, but did a test message this morning, and it went clearly out on Facebook, and it was wonderful. Got messages, yes, hear you loud and clear. We went live at 10:30, and there's no sound. I don't know what Facebook is playing, what game they're playing, but I'm working diligently as a process to be able to go YouTube live. Going to do my best for that, and hopefully that'll be next week. Otherwise, we're just going to record it and upload it like we used to do back when COVID first started. So what am I doing with my iPhone? I'm recording the sermon so I can at least be able to put the audio, including this message, on our website. And so this way, others will be able to loudly hear the message. Last week, Deacon Bob had another recorder, a digital recorder of mine, and he was able to record the service, and I took the audio from his message, and it is on our Facebook, on our website. So sorry for giving you the update. It's brutal, but it is the truth. And we'll get past it because we've got God on our side, and I don't know what algorithm they're running, but they're not going to win this one. So one way or the other, we'll get the word out. Well, today's gospel lesson, which you just heard from the Apostle Matthew, is about a very powerful event. It's so important that it has been recorded in all four of the gospels. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, Mark chapter 1, 9 to 12, Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 22, and the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 32 to 34. And that means when you got it on all four Gospels, there can be no doubt about what took place. It's not just words. That day in the Jordan River, heaven was opened. And then, and for the very first time, the incredible physical presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were witnessed together. God stressed the importance that baptism should have in our lives and the importance of water in our lives for cleansing and for refreshing. Water is incredible. It nourishes us as well as cleanses and refreshes us. It's amazing. It quenches the thirst that some of us might have on a dry day. In our Anglican catechism, to be a Christian, which we're going to be studying on Wednesday nights, it says that the outward and visible sign of baptism, water, is the means by which the candidate for baptism is committed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, the inward and spiritual grace is death to sin, and new birth is righteousness through union with Christ in his death and resurrection. Now, through baptism, we are made God's child by grace through faith in Christ. It's not just words. In the Jordan River that day, the Holy Spirit's visible presence at Jesus' baptism was to empower Jesus for what the Father had called him to do. Remember that even though Jesus is God, he's also human. And so he needed the empowerment. God the Father spoke from heaven and made it clear that he was pleased with Jesus. Up until that point, Jesus had lived in relative anonymity in that little town called Nazareth with a small reputation. People would say, what good could come from Nazareth? Up until that point, Jesus of Nazareth had not performed a single miracle, preached a single sermon, or begun his public ministry. This was the start of something big. The Holy Trinity outwardly affirmed the divinity of Jesus, meaning that he is God. It happened in that very same water that parted many years before so that the Ark of the Covenant could cross onto dry land into the Promised Land. And that's recorded in Joshua chapter 3. When the feet of the Levite priests touched the water, and the water rolled back. God was giving Israel a reminder that they had entered the promised land the same way they left slavery in Egypt, as recorded in Exodus, and it was on dry ground by his miracle and power. The place at which this happened was just north of the Dead Sea, across from Jericho, in the very same water in which Elijah's chariot of fire would ascend to heaven. Right after the waters parted for Elijah, when he touched the water with his mantle or cloak, and he walked across on dry ground. And then Elisha did the same thing and parted the waters with Elijah's cloak. And I want you to hear this from 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14. And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. Remember, it was God who parted the waters, once at the Red Sea and three times at the Jordan River, as a sign of his presence and power covering his people. And now we read in John the Baptist, who gave an even more powerful proclamation of Jesus' identity for all to hear at that spot in the Jordan near Jericho. Only this time the waters weren't parted, but instead the heavens were, as the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. And God the Father spoke. I've got to tell you, this was no ordinary place, just as this was no ordinary man. God the Father speaking pointed directly to his Son, Jesus. And God the Holy Spirit appearing as a dove also pointed directly to Jesus. I believe there's no denying the irrefutable evidence that Jesus is the long-promised Messiah, God's anointed Son, who would carry our sins to the cross and teach us how to live. John the Baptist was apparently not a very shy person. He got in trouble speaking up and testified to what he witnessed, to what he saw and what he heard, that Jesus, as the Messiah, would baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Incredibly, most Jewish groups in Jesus' time believed that the Holy Spirit was not as active in prophetic inspiration as it was in Old Testament times. They felt that God had stopped speaking to them through his Holy Spirit when the last Old Testament prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, died. It's a long period of time between Malachi and Matthew. For many people who listened to John's claim that through Jesus the Holy Spirit was present and that Jesus would be baptizing people with the Holy Spirit, it had to mean that the Messiah had come or was near. Jesus did not officially begin his public ministry until John the Baptist had been put in prison by Herod Antipas. Remember John's words? After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. That's John chapter 1, verse 30. John the Baptist was physically born first. Remember his mother Elizabeth, who was pregnant when Jesus' mother Mary visited? And the baby John leapt in her womb at the presence of the baby Jesus in Mary's womb. I believe John's words, after me, signified that Jesus would begin his ministry after John. John the Baptist was imprisoned because he told Herod Antipas that he shouldn't be marrying his brother's wife, which would lead to his beheading. Right after his baptism, Jesus would go off into the wilderness where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And was tempted by Satan, but yet did not sin. After Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, he went to the Galilee region and met the beginning of the 12 disciples at Capernaum, where they lived and worked as fishermen. Jesus was prepared for his ministry by his baptism in the Jordan and his temptation in the wilderness, and now was the time for him to begin publicly serving the world. Jesus goes to Nazareth and Capernaum by the sea. Jesus begins to proclaim the presence of the kingdom of God by word and by deed or action. As Matthew writes, and I quote, "Teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people." That's Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. We read this morning by Jay that Isaiah said the Messiah would be a light to the Gentiles, open the eyes of the blind, free captives from prison, and release from the dungeons those who live in darkness. That's Isaiah chapter 42. That was a prophecy that Jesus would fulfill. John the Baptist was telling people to repent, for the kingdom of God is near. In essence, change your behavior. And I believe Jesus said the very same thing. Jesus is a great light who appears to those who sit in darkness, even today. He's come to rescue those who are captives to sin. There's no doubt about it. Once you have Jesus in your life, that's the start of something big. You got to agree with me. I want you to listen to the words of John the Baptist, who testified about what he had just witnessed that day in the Jordan River. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I've seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." John chapter 1, verses 32 to 34. There's no doubt about it. This was the start of something big, and it's not just words. This should signify to us the importance of the sacrament of baptism and the blessing and benefits that are received through it. The Holy Spirit, through water and the anointing of oil, is imparted upon the one receiving that sacrament, and the cleansing that takes place, rising to new life with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The words are very simple. "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Then the anointing of oil and the sign of the cross is made on that person's head, and they're sealed as Christ's own forever by the Holy Spirit. It's a very powerful event in the life of a person, one that we believe is so special that it only needs to be done once. I say that to my brothers and sisters in other denominations, that you can only and should only be baptized once. It never can be invalidated. Jesus' baptism was not the only time that God the Father spoke about Jesus. There'd be one more time where God the Father would speak similar words to the world, and that was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, Jesus' inner circle, to a mountain in the north of Israel. And, I quote, "A bright cloud enveloped them, and the voice from the cloud said, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" That's from Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Now, if the world would only just do that, take the words of Jesus. If you have a Bible with the words of Jesus in red letters, you can very easily see what Jesus says, and you can listen to what he says by reading them out loud to yourself. If the world would just do that, we would not be in the mess that we're in many places. Listen to him. Please, my brothers and sisters, take it seriously and do all you can to carry it out. They're not just words. They're a gift from God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.